Listen up, everybody. You have just till June 5th, just a few days from now, to be able to go to myalliant.com to answer 5 simple questions, put in your email, and then one of you will be selected to win $5,000. I think that's 5,000 reasons that you should go and do it right now.
All right, Susie, KT, are you ready for today's podcast?
Yeah, Robert, of course we're ready.
Because we are unstoppable.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
I put my armor on, show you how strong I am. I put my armor on, I'll show you that I am. I'm unstoppable.
April 11th, 2024. Welcome everybody to the Women in Money.
Why are you
podcast.
Giggling?
You're making me laugh already.
Why are you giggling? It's early.
You just are. All right. So welcome everybody to the Women
Tell
in
them.
Money. I'm not exactly sure why.
Because she started by saying it was 2023.
But they
and
don't
I gave
know
her
that.
A look. All right, here we are. Welcome everyone to the Ask Susie Anything podcast featuring KT. Keep going, Sue.
To the Women and Money podcast, and everybody smart enough to listen. And as Miss Travis just told you, this is the Ask KT and Susie Anything edition. But KT, before we begin, I just want to make 2 announcements because they're both happening today.
Yeah, we're going to be with you all day today, everybody.
Yeah, if you want to see me. So starting at approximately 11:30 to 11:50 today, I'm appearing on a webinar with CNBC talking about how you get to the next level, how to be a good leader. And for those of you who want to tune in, I talked about this and I posted it on the Women and Money Community app, but you can also go to nbcuacademy.com/events and sign up there for free. Also, today, 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock, and these are all East Coast times, by the way, so somewhere in the 4 to 5 o'clock hour on CNN with Jake Tapper, I will be appearing there as well. Lots of appearances
this
lately,
is a
huh?
Busy media week for Susie. We're very excited. All right, I have 2 announcements.
What?
Before we begin. Well, these are questions, but I just want to clarify it, Susie. These are about Alliant, and you all know that Alliant sponsors the Women in Money podcast, so I want to make sure everyone's clear. So I'm getting some questions that say, I cannot find the Stay Smart quiz on the Alliant website. Where is it?
So everybody, as I told you last week, last Sunday, and I'm going to tell you again now, if you go to myalliant.com. You go there, not to the main Alliant website, whatever it is, but my website with Alliant Credit Union. It is right there. And all of you should take it.
It's only 5 questions.
5 questions, but the real reason I want you to also do that and put in your email address is that I'm pretty sure that in a week or two, I'm going to have an announcement to make of what will happen with all those emails.
It's a secret, Susie.
I know, but so just go ahead and do it.
Just put your email in and then you'll see later why.
And you don't even have to have an account with Alliant Credit Union. You don't have to open up one. Just take the quiz and put in your email.
It's a good quiz.
And you'll see why.
And the question that came in, the first question I have, it says, Susie, I have a few CDs at Alliant that are coming due.
Yeah.
They're coming due soon. And I'm afraid the interest rate may be lowered again before they come due. Do you have any advice for me? So let's get all these Alliant questions answered, Susie.
Were you about to say out of the way?
I was, but let's get them answered.
Is that because you have to be answered, proper to the sponsor of
answered
the podcast?
And out of the way.
Get out of the way. So here's a thought for all of you. Is that, let's say you have money in a money market account or a savings account at Alliant Credit Union or wherever it may be. And let's say that you also have a $5,000 or $10,000, whatever it may be, CD. Doesn't just have to be at Alliant Credit Union. It could be anywhere. And you're afraid that interest rates are going to continue down, although they do seem, at least with treasuries, they are absolutely going up. So that's something that I will talk to you about on Sunday, everybody. But here's what you might do. Let's say you have a $10,000 CD at Alliant Credit Union coming due in 2 weeks, and you want to take advantage of the interest rate that you could get right now. If you have $10,000 in a money market account or savings account, wherever you have it, take that money right now and buy another $10,000 CD at today's interest rates. Then when your CD comes due, just take that money and replace the money in your money market account or savings account, but then you locked in the rate today that you can get. So that's one thing that you can do if you think interest rates are going to continue down and you want to buy another CD and lock in today's rates. All right.
All right. Let's get going now because I have a lot of questions here.
I'm not the one who's
all right,
stalling.
Ready? This is a question from a Susie to a Susie. Hi, hope you're doing well. I'm in such a pickle.
That's okay.
I love when people say things like,
I was in an olive. Wasn't I?
No, you were in an olive craving mood. She was craving olives like at 10 o'clock at night. And she's definitely not pregnant. So then she said to me, at around 11 o'clock, and I'm already sleeping, KT, where can we go to a really good olive store? So I'm like thinking, oh boy, Susie was in a mood. So ready? So this is from Susie to Susie. I'm in such a pickle. I have about $30,000 in credit card debt and can't even make the minimum payments monthly anymore. How can I get a grip on this debt? A consolidation loan, a personal loan, other? I'm overwhelmed with the calls. She's getting calls already. And she has no solution. What do you suggest Susie does?
Oh, boy. You know, Susie,
she needs guidance, I think.
Yeah. You know, there's a rule of thumb. When you owe more than what you're worth, you are essentially bankrupt. So let's just say you owe $30,000 in credit card debt. And let's say you don't have any savings, you have no net worth, you don't own a home, you don't own anything. Essentially, it's very difficult then to get out of credit card debt, even if you can't make the minimum payments due anymore. You might want to check with nfcc.org. which is an organization that will look at what you have, see if they can take over your debt where you pay them. They pay the credit card companies. Usually they take your interest down to zero, and maybe it costs you $10 a month to have them do that, and they put you on a five-year plan. However, and I don't say this lightly, a lot of times in life we get into situations for whatever reason. Maybe you were sick. Maybe something happened. I don't know. But if you really can't afford to even pay the minimum payment due anymore, it is possible that bankruptcy may be an option for you. And I know that a lot of you are like, wait a minute. But when it's legal, when it makes sense, when you've learned your lesson and you're not going to claim bankruptcy and then run up $30,000 of credit card debt again, because most people who claim bankruptcy claim it twice. But if it's legitimate that maybe you had a divorce, maybe who knows what happened? But bankruptcy in this particular case, and I just have a feeling, may be an option for you. It's something that you probably should look into. You know, KT, that's hard for me to say.
I know, and you know how I feel about it.
How do you feel about it?
I don't like bankruptcy on any level, but there are some situations where it's the last resort, because look what it does to credit. Look what it does.
KT, I got news for her. If they're calling her,
already she
her
has credit,
no credit is already ruined. Mm. Therefore, she can't do a balance transfer. I know you don't like it, but you really have to understand that there are some people, for whatever reason, get into a situation and it just grows. And really, KT, it's not a good thing, because if you have debt and everything and you stop paying it, and then all of a sudden it goes to a collector and it ends up with the marshal, they can actually garnish your wages. Mm. That's what they did to Ayana. Mm. And she got into terrible trouble with three kids and everything. She ended up claiming bankruptcy. And I got news for you. Her life is totally on the path. For the first time ever, she has a savings account, and she learned. So anyway, Ayana happens to be a survivor of domestic abuse, everybody. I did a podcast with her a year, two or three ago. You should look it up. It's really quite amazing how she has turned her life around.
Yeah, right. You're very proud of her.
I'm so proud of her.
Okay.
Next, and by the way, I just have to say this. It also took me 2 years to convince her to claim bankruptcy, mm-hmm. right? And it wasn't until they garnished her wages and she couldn't feed her kids that she agreed to do so. All right.
Okay, next question's from Sandy. Susie, I have a Roth that I've had for many years. I want to transfer it to a Schwab brokerage firm. Do I start the 5-year limit over again? And is any new money that I put into the Roth, would that start its own 5-year limit? Thanks from an enthusiastic listener.
Oh, that should be your quizzy.
I'm not going to do that quizzy.
No, because you don't know the answer, and because you have a can I afford it now as a quizzy. Listen, girlfriend, if you already have had a Roth for many years and you simply want to transfer it to a Roth at another company, no, the 5-year limit does not start over again. And any new money you put into that Roth, it's a contributory Roth, obviously, does not start the 5-year limit over again. If, however, you had a traditional IRA and you were converting it to a Roth, then the 5-year starts all over again, but not in this case. So good on you. All right.
All right. This is from Janine. Hi, Susie. I'm looking at purchasing 30-year treasury bonds. I see that the interest is paid every 6 months. Can the interest be withdrawn, or is it only available to use once the bond is redeemed? Janine's been looking for the answer to that question everywhere and can't find it, so she's going to you, Susie.
A 30-year treasury bond, and you might just want to wait a little bit before buying it, because it could very well, now that inflation came in a little bit hot, those interest rates may continue up. So you might want to wait a little bit to do so. However, interest rate is paid every 6 months, just not on a 30-year treasury bond, but on a treasury note, whatever it may be. So any note or bond, treasuries pay out every 6 months. They do not compound like a certificate of deposit. Again, I'm going to talk about this now that I just heard this question on Sunday's podcast,
yeah.
Because when you're looking at the interest rates of treasuries, they aren't compounding. But when you look at the interest rates of CDs, they're quoting you the compounded rate. So they're going to pay out that interest to you every 6 months, no matter what. And it has nothing to do with once the bond has been redeemed. If you're talking about a Series I bond, it's a whole different story. All right, go on.
That's a great Sunday school.
Yep, yep.
All right, good. Next question is from Deb. She said, I am retired and 65. I have $125,000 in my TSP pre-tax. Question, should I leave the money in the TSP or move to a Fidelity IRA and slowly move to a Roth IRA, or, ready for this one, don't get crazy, or buy an annuity? which was suggested by her financial advisor. The issue I have with the annuity is it would be locked in for 5 or 7 years.
Duh.
Wait, the advisor says, wait until the RMD is required. I have sufficient pension funds.
Well, that is the stupidest thing I ever heard. Wait till the RMD is required.
Wait, that's the stupidest thing from the financial advisor, not from Deb. All right.
So, Deb, here's the thing. You have $125,000 in your TSP. If all of a sudden you do an IRA rollover with it to Fidelity, what are you going to invest that $125,000 in? Who is going to advise you how to invest that money? Because what you've done over all the years in your thrift savings plan is every month or every 2 weeks, you put a little bit in from your paycheck, and here now you have $125,000. Do I mind if you just leave it in the TSP where you're familiar with it? I have to tell you, I don't. But if you feel confident with doing an IRA rollover with it, and then little by little moving it to a Roth IRA, okay, I don't have a problem with that. However, just make sure that you're going to feel comfortable with what to do with $125,000 in terms of an annuity within a retirement account. Don't even get me started. That is just stupid, stupid, stupid. So you're not going to be doing that. And maybe I'll talk about that on Sunday as well. Remember, a retirement account is a tax-free or tax-deferred account. An annuity is a tax-deferred account. What sense does it make to have a tax-deferred account within a tax-free or tax-deferred account? Makes none whatsoever. You're not doing that. Do you hear me?
Makes sense to the financial advisor who gets a commission.
Probably 5 to 7%.
All right.
5 to 7%. I just want to say on $125,000 where the money is locked up, we're talking about $7,000 or more.
Okay. So, Susie, this next question is like the $1 million question for everyone. This is from Tanya. Tanya asks, Susie, I love this question. Can you explain how people are able to live off their interest? Thank you for your purpose in this life. There's no one I trust more than you when it comes to my money. Tanya, give Tanya a little guidance here and everyone else listening.
Tanya, that's such a sweet
question.
It's
a sweet question, Tanya.
So, Tanya, here's what's interesting. You work and you work and you work. And you make money, and you save money, and you invest money, hopefully so that one day when you no longer work for money, your money can work for you. And you can save it either in retirement accounts, in savings accounts, investing it in the stock market, even investing it in a home where eventually you own it outright. So the key, in my opinion, to a successful retirement where people can live off their interest is that during their working years, they pay down all of their debt. They own their car outright. They own their home outright. They don't have a lot of expenses. Therefore, they then have money that they've accumulated over the years. And that money is invested in such a way, whether it's in treasuries right now that are making 5% or, you know, right around there. They're investing in stocks that are paying them dividends of maybe 6 or 7% or more. They have investments that generate interest for them. And the interest that those investments are generating for them happen to be more than what their expenses are after taxes. Maybe they buy municipal bonds so that it's tax-free. So that's how it's done over time. And actually, I have to tell you, that's what KT and I are planning to do. We've accumulated money. It's invested in such a way so that when we are no longer generating income from working, let's just say all of that stops, the amount of money we have will generate enough interest, dividends, and income for us to pay all of our expenses. So that's how people are able to live off of their interest. So that should be your goal as well. All right.
Susie, next question. KT and Susie, I have taxable bonds in my Roth. Should I trade them for another investment in my retirement account?
I don't know
what taxable bonds are.
All right. So Kathy, see, KT, she has your name. Whenever you have a Roth IRA, it does not matter. And this is true even if you had a traditional IRA. It does not matter if you have taxable bonds in your account. It does not matter because they're held within a tax-free or tax-deferred retirement account. So no, you should not trade them for another investment simply because you think they're taxable. Because that's why you own them in a retirement account, so you don't have to pay taxes on them when you eventually withdraw the money. So the real question is, do you want to still own a bond, or is there something better for you to be investing that money in? Because you could sell it, not pay any taxes on it at all, and then buy something else that maybe fits you better. But no, you don't trade them for another investment just because they're taxable. There's no such thing in a Roth IRA while it's in there. And if you hold it for at least 5 years and until you're 59 and a half, don't worry, you're not going to pay taxes on anything, girlfriend. All right, KT.
Quizzy time. Quizzy
now,
time.
Now, I'm leaving a little extra time for quizzes.
Why?
The can I afford it ones.
Oh, right? I love these.
Right? And this is where you write in, you ask a question, and you tell me what it is that you want to buy. And I tell you if you can afford it or not. And you write in to AskSusiePodcast@gmail.com. And please, I need to know, write this down, everybody, your expenses versus your take-home income. Do you have any debt whatsoever? And what interest rate is it at? How much do you have in an emergency fund? Do you own money on a home? I need to know the specifics. Have you fully funded retirement accounts? What do you have really going? So if you leave out any of those really important things, I can't answer if you can afford it or not. All right, KT.
Hey, everybody, I have an idea.
Uh-oh.
Susie's going to put on the Women of Money community app a little tile that says, can I afford it? And in there will be a list of what you need to provide her so she can answer your question. There you go. You fill it in with the question.
Yeah, but you don't fill it in there.
No.
All right. But that's a good idea. Yeah. I like that. What, okay. Were you just about to get upset at me?
Yeah, because they're smart. They know that. They're not going to fill it in on the app. We're not going to put your information in there.
Well, good, KT. We got that down. Are we ready, everybody? So, KT, once again, before you answer if they can afford it or not, give everybody a second to think about if they're going to approve or deny. This is from Lena, and I chose it mainly because of your twin sister, we call her.
We nickname her Lena.
Lena, all right. Hello from the land of the midnight sun, from Sweden. All right. I have seen a diamond ring that costs about $900. Write it down, everybody. Lena wants, are you writing this down, KT?
Yeah.
I don't see you writing it down.
Right here, this is my pen clicking. All right, go.
Lena wants to buy a ring, KT, a diamond ring for $900, okay? And she wants to know if she can afford this ring to give it to herself. Here's her money. besides my normal monthly expenses of approximately $2,500. Those are her expenses. Her earnings are about $4,200. She has absolutely no debt. She pays off her credit cards every month in full. She owns her car outright. She doesn't have any loans, and she rents a small house. Besides that, she has approximately $17,000 in cash, $28,000 in stocks outside of her retirement account. She has $250,000 in an IRA, a 401k, and a Roth IRA. That's in total. She has $20,000 in CDs at Alliant Credit Union. So that's the amount of money that she has. But she goes on to say something that I just want all of you to hear. Because it's like, why does she want to buy herself a $900 like wedding ring? All right. She says, I love this ring. I dream of this ring. This ring would be my own wedding ring to me, kind of like the wedding ring I never got. Now, after an awfully long, drawn-out divorce, I'm completely on my own with no relatives or family members alive other than my daughter, and I am saving and investing my money, and I rarely shop or go get my hair done. My daughter feels I should buy it, as she says I never buy anything for myself. Then I think, should I invest instead of buying a ring? Or just save the $900 for a rainy day? I hope you can give me advice on this. So can I afford it or not? She's obviously going to pay for it out of her cash. So can she afford it or not? $2,500 in expenses, $4,200 in income, no debt, credit card is paid in full, owns her car outright, rents a small house for herself and her daughter, has approximately $17,000 in cash, $28,000 in stocks that she can get at, $250,000 in retirements, $20,000 in Alliant on CDs. And so there you go, and it's the ring of her dreams.
The question is, can she afford it?
Yes.
I think she can.
So do you approve or deny her?
Well, based on what she said, I have to approve her.
Positive?
I want to approve her. Absolutely.
Lena, KT says she would approve you, but here's what I would say to you. You are approved. However, Lena, I just want you to think about something. You obviously can afford it. An 8-month emergency fund is $20,000. You're $3,000 short of that. However, you have money in a Roth. If you spend $900, you're going to be close to $4,000 short of an emergency fund, but you have enough everywhere else that I'm not worried about that. Let me tell you what I am worried about. You're still obviously young. You have a young daughter, and you're going to be wearing this ring on your finger. And I want you to think about, will this ring really make you feel powerful? Will this ring really do what you want it to do for yourself, emotionally speaking? Will you have a ring on and somebody's going to see you and think, oh, she's married? And then you're going to have to explain, if you get interested in this person, why you have a ring on your wedding finger, if that's in fact where you were going to wear it. So you can afford it, but will it really give you what you feel like it will give you? Or will $900 invested that will grow and grow and grow for you in the end give you a whole lot more? because a ring is never a symbol of strength. A piece of jewelry or anything outside of yourself is never a symbol of strength. How you feel inside without any earrings, rings, purses, clothes, anything. If you can feel strong with nothing, then you will feel strong with everything. Now, KT, what do you want to say? You can disagree with that.
Oh, it's not a matter of disagreeing. I think everything you said is very true. It's very true. So she has to weigh in of what decision she wishes to make. But what was really interesting is being relatively young and walking around with a ring on her finger.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a little bit of a yellow or red light for any possible, you know, yeah, suitors or interest.
And that's not to say that, like with the wedding ring that I wear and KT wears once in a while, not all the time.
Yeah.
Right, because she's too active. It means so much to me, I can't tell you. The little gift around my neck that was given to me by somebody in India is probably, truthfully, the most important thing I have. But I can't think of anything that I myself bought myself that really means anything to me, KT.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when it's a gift from somebody else, that gift or that item reminds you of the love that it was given to you with. When you buy something for yourself, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, maybe it can define you, but you still have a little anger over your
ring she never got.
Right, right. So for those of you who have a piece of jewelry or something and it reminds you of something that you
precious
love, usually it's from your mom who left it to you or
grandmother,
something, or your spouse who gave it to you and you're still married. But very seldom, I don't know, when you buy something for yourself, I don't know. But the bottom line is here, you all have to decide that yourself, and you absolutely
can afford it.
All right. I just don't have anything I've ever bought myself that I treasure, that I really treasure. Can you think of anything?
Well, things in the jewelry category. I know that at one point in your life and your career, you were infatuated by watches, complex watches.
And now and I now, care less about
now them. She never wears them. She keeps them safe and sound, has no real interest anymore.
No, but they've all quadrupled in value.
Yeah.
So they were also an investment, but it was never to make myself feel strong.
I think it was just something you appreciated.
Right. It's like, I don't know. Anyway. All right, everybody. So again, in just a few hours, you can tune in at approximately 11:30 to what's going on with CNBC. I gave you the link earlier. I'll be on 11:30 to 11:50 East Coast time. And again, later between the 4 and 5 o'clock hour East Coast time, CNN on Jake Tapper. I can't wait to hear what he's going to ask me. But until Sunday, there's only one thing we want you to remember when it comes to your money, and it is this.
People first,
then money,
then things.
That's a good one for today for the quizzy.
Yeah.
Right? And anyway, you stay safe. And if you do all that, you will be
unstoppable.
I'm unstoppable. I'm a butcher with no breaks. I'm invincible. Yeah, I win every single game. Mine's a powerful. I don't need batteries to play. I'm so confident. Yeah, I'm unstoppable today. Unstoppable today. Unstoppable today. Unstoppable today. Yeah, I'm unstoppable today.
Neither Susie Orman Media nor Susie Orman is acting as a certified financial planner, advisor, a certified financial analyst, an economist, CPA, accountant, or lawyer. Neither Suzy Orman Media nor Suzy Orman make any recommendations as to any specific securities or investments. All content contained in this podcast is for informational and general purposes only and does not constitute financial accounting or legal advice. You should consult your own tax, legal, and financial advisors regarding your particular situation. Neither Suzy Orman Media nor Suzy Orman accepts any responsibility for any losses which may arise from accessing or reliance on information in this podcast. And to the fullest extent permitted by law, we exclude all liability for loss, damages, direct or indirect, arising from the use of this information. The must-have documents discussed in this podcast are legal documents created by a lawyer and distributed by Hay House.